It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey.
Finding yourself alone beneath moonlight. All of the things you held in your heart made sense.
Mermaid Heaven is a band from Champaign, Illinois. Its members are Elizabeth Amariah Allen, she goes by Eli, James Treichler, and Sam Schreier. They met as students at the University of Illinois. Fast forward, they're still making music together and evolving their sound and art in the process. Earlier this year, Mermaid Heaven was one of thousands of bands across the U.S. to submit a live performance to NPR Music's 8th annual Tiny Desk Concert. That's what we're listening to now. It's a song called You.
From the sun, arms, wake you at night and bring them to the light. You are the one who ran him dry.
I spoke with the members of Mermaid Heaven back in June for our summer music series. We're revisiting that conversation for the rest of our program today. So Eli, I'm going to begin with you. What was the inspiration for the song You?
Well, every song that I write usually is about a person, and so it's a bit of a personhood diary, like a relationship diary. It doesn't have to be like a romantic one necessarily, just a person. And I was at a point where I'd just written, you know, a bunch of songs, and I was by myself figuring out who am I without other people, without other relationships, without reflections of myself. If I am just to look into my own mirror, who am I? And so that was the inspiration of the song. So it's about me. But in the meantime, I had a daughter who is now 2.5. And she is now you. Because learning to love her helps me to learn how to love myself. It's a song about learning to love yourself and being truthful and transparent.
Yeah, that's second person switch there, I guess, with your daughter entering the picture. I love the video as well. And James, what was the video concept for the live performance you submitted to NPR's Tiny Desk Concert?
Yeah, honestly, we're sitting in the room we did that video, which is also Sam's studio here. So, and I suppose living room as well. But yeah, I guess, you know, pandemic times had a big part of us kind of taking that route. We haven't really been able to play together a whole lot the last couple of years. And while we really enjoy it, we've also kind of moved on from that even being part of our, I guess, cycle as a group, since we've kind of just shifted to working on recorded music, videos. All of us kind of enjoy the studio part of, you know, production and record making. And anyways, making the You video come together, I think it started as just us not having much content out there that does show us just actually playing our instruments. So it kind of checked that off the list, but we figured it'd be fun to go a little further with the production and went down some pretty major rabbit holes trying to learn little bits of lighting design. And then we kind of just made our little set here in the living room and went for it. So
I got to say, for our listeners who obviously can't see, and we'll put a link to the video on our website at 21stshow.org if they want to check it out. But as you're playing there's all these like table lamps, practical lighting, we call it. I used to, before I was a reporter, I worked in theater. I was a master electrician. So I'm like sitting here trying to figure out, how did they rig that up?
Yeah. So it's Sam took the lead on learning all the DMX kind of stuff. And I will say, for me, it's fun being in this band with these two, because I kind of work in studios for a living, and I've kind of brought them on board to that kind of mindset with everything. And now that I set them loose, they go wildly further with things than sometimes I would myself. So I remember showing back up one day and Sam's like, "What do you think of this?" And we were all pretty blown away because he just kind of willed this whole thing to happen. So to me, it was just kind of like, "Hey, here's this idea." And then showing up a few weeks later and being like, All right. There we go.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's amazing how well synced it is to the music. So Sam, when did you start playing? How'd you get into music?
I started piano lessons at 4 years old, and my mother is a flutist by trade profession. So she decided to put me and my siblings into piano lessons, and I just kept going until about 14 years old, and I stopped taking lessons, and I started to expand my understanding of what music could be through my own research and wandering.
Eli, what about you?
Actually, a very similar story. I started piano classically at 4. Classic Tiger Mom experience. Russian piano teacher.
Oh my.
2 violin teachers. And then when I turned 18 and left high school, I was like, I'm never doing music ever again. But then I picked up a guitar a year later and started learning the guitar and just slowly started learning to play music and write music on my own.
James, same question to you.
Yeah, I started playing piano at 5 because apparently I got the age of 4. I got to take that off from playing piano like they did.
A late bloomer.
I actually was put into piano pretty early, and then there is always that funny thing as a drummer. They're always like, want you to play all these other instruments first, I guess, just to prove you aren't like wanting to be like animal and, you know, just like hit things in music class or whatever. But I was lucky to grow up over in like the west side of Decatur near Millikan University. So I kind of came up kind of in their program while I was in grade school and high school and all that. I was kind of around their culture and a lot of their teachers and whatnot. So, yeah, pretty similar, though, in a fashion of it was always around. Never really had, like, that clear, like, concise direction of, like, I want to do this with it. But I think that's kind of what can kind of say led the three of us even to doing and working on music in the fashion that we do.
All right, let me just take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with James Treichler, Sam Schreier, and Eli Amariah Allen, who together are Mermaid Heaven. Eli, what's the story behind the name Mermaid Heaven?
Well, Sam and I had been doing music in a band together for a long time, and we dissolved that. And at the same time, James and I started to talk about potentially producing some songs together. And we got a show offer randomly to play with Ohm, a band from Chicago, I believe. And we didn't have a name. I didn't want to play under my own name because I thought that was lame and also misrepresenting what the three of us were potentially about. And Mermaid Heaven just, I don't even know. It was just a phrase. And so I gave that name to the person who wanted to book us and thinking that we would change it later. And then nobody said anything.
I think I did say something like, where's that? Who's Mermaid Heaven? Or like, why is that written on this email we got? And it's like, oh yeah, that's our name, I guess.
It's just for now.
I remember being told the name and I just kind of rolled with it.
Yeah. Honestly, naming a band, I had no idea how hard it is nowadays. Like, we got so lucky we never once had to have that conversation. It just was like,
we didn't name the band. The band named us.
Say more about, James, you mentioned this earlier, that, and I don't know if this is solely a pandemic thing, but you said you're not really performing in public anymore. Kind of reminds me of like the Beatles, right? Is this like a post-rooftop concert thing? You're only going to be doing studio work from here on?
Well, there's a funny thing. I mean, I think so much, it kind of worked out comfortably for us to just kind of exist in that fashion because it was the only thing we could really control, you know, especially seeing so many bands that, you know, had major tours just pulled out from under them at the last minute, dealing with, you know, of course, a number of issues. It didn't really I think we just kind of flew under that naturally because of where we were kind of in our development as a band anyways. But I think it actually helped us find like a pretty massive strength of ours, which is kind of doing more of this visual, kind of having our presence be, you know, whether it be like virtual, online, record making in the studio, all of these things, I think, kind of started to excite us a little bit more anyways and kind of fall into our strengths.
DIY freedom.
Yeah, I mean, not to say the day won't come when we want to kind of flip that and start playing a lot more, but I think anyone in a band can tell you, you know, your hours are pretty limited, and for us to be able to maximize our time together, just making new videos and music has been pretty great so far.
The thing is that James, during the pandemic, was teaching Sam and I basically the basics of how to record and engineer so that we could do that on our own at any time, because Sam and I are both complete control freaks. And so being able to have that control and also to free up James's time so that, because, you know, James is doing this professionally, like he doesn't have time to record us. We have to record ourselves. But that like plays to the strengths of Sam and I, which is that we want to do it ourselves. So during the pandemic, it just made sense for all of us to develop our own studios. And then that like developed a method and an algorithm to just recording and producing and creating songs that worked really nicely.
And now we've kind of gotten to a point where everyone touches on a little bit of everything.
Everything,
including
yeah,
the visual
everything.
Work. Yeah, so I think we've built up that trust to do that. And it's been really, I think, freeing for all of us.
And rewarding.
Yeah.
Who do you rate among your influences? How do you describe your sound?
I think the fun part about music and writing songs and being in control of that is that each song is kind of a manifestation of the influence that you're under at the at that time, which is really fun. And it's fun because it sounds nothing like the influence that you're being influenced by, but it's your body and mind and imagination's interpretation and manifestation of that influence. It's your version of it.
Road on a wave.
Well, that's a great segue for me to ask you about what was going through your head when you created Night Blue.
Well, there's an entire podcast, and I'm going to do a shout out to Sven. He has a podcast called Champagne is Also a Band, and he did an entire podcast interview with that song. So I'm just calling it out because he's a great local person. You don't have to include that, but anyway, with Night Bloom, these people who wanted to form a punk band were like, you should join us, be a guitarist. And I was like, sure, I will try. I do not know how to do this. But my guitar was in a drop D, and I was like trying to write a punk song, and I was being influenced by the local band Hum, and that came up.
What's next for the band, James?
We definitely have a lot of recorded music in the works. We've actually, I'd say we're kind of proud of having a little bit of a stockpile at the moment, but we're going to keep going with this, you know, lots of visuals, trying to kind of connect a video to virtually every song we release. I think it kind of helps us kind of manifest a unique style for each thing that we do and kind of give a little greater life to each release. So I know in the near term, what we probably have 3 that are about ready for digital release. So hopefully here in the next few months, we'll be getting quite a bit new material out there for people.
Well, Sam, James, and Eli, thank you so much for being with us on the 21st show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tracing noon, dump the
Eli Amariah Allen, James Trikler, and Sam Schreier are Mermaid Heaven. This is their track, The Thorn. And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.